In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're beginning part two of Luisa and re-entering the womb of the Celestial Father and the Divine Will. And we begin on volume 19, 5, 6, 19, 26. Therefore, Luisa, the one who lives in our divine will, even if Luisa came at last, she comes always before everything. So here Jesus is showing there is no time or space in the divine will. What God is bringing us to is a new beginning. Time as we know it is going to change, and we understand this by Our Lady appearing to Bruno in 1947, 40 days after Luisa died, and saying to him, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world, it's a new beginning. So Jesus is showing us that Luisa, who she's the one who lives in God's most holy divine will, and even if she has come last, this is 2,000 years after Christ, she always comes before everything. We're going to see that God had this planned from the beginning of time, and he needs us to begin to understand what this is all about. And it's a new beginning for mankind. It's not what we have really experienced for the last 6,000 years. It's to enter into the image and likeness of God as God originally planned for Adam. So Jesus says, he says, it is not an era in which souls come out into the light of time that shall be considered, but whether the life of my divine will has been in them as the center of life. My life of my divine will is the center of life, reigning and dominating in all of their acts, just as it reigns and dominates in the womb of the divinity. So here, this is the life of God. It doesn't mean that the saints who are going to live in the divine will are gods, but we're going to be like in God's image and likeness. So these shall be the first. Their acts done in our holy divine will shall rise above all the acts of all the other saints, and shall remain behind. And everything else shall remain behind the acts done in our holy divine will by the little children of the holy divine will linked to Luisa. Therefore, these souls, the little children of the holy divine will, shall be our crown. Jesus says to Luisa, the crowning of my church is this gift of the divine will. It's the triple crown of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a new beginning for all of mankind. And the first one next to Luisa who will receive this crown will be the Holy Father. And you know that the tiara, the papal crown, has not been worn since Paul VI. And yet it's going to be returned. A new beginning for mankind is going to be given back. So volume 19, 5, 10, 19, 26, the divine will which reigns in the creation and the son of the divine will which reigns in the soul meet. They kiss each other. Heaven and earth kiss. They love each other and make each other happy. So here, the way God created the human will was for God. The way he created all of creation was for man. And now it's going to kiss. The will of the human will and the divine will are going to kiss. They're going to love each other and make each other happy. This is why God says the kingdom of God is like a wedding feast. It's to go back to where God originally planned for man to be one with God. And while remaining in creation, because the Son of my divine will leaves nothing behind but brings everything with itself, it penetrates into the heavens. It invests everyone, the angels, the saints, the sovereign queen. It gives its kiss to everyone. It gives new joys, new contentments, new love. So again, when you see the word new, think of God. It was give God's joys, God's contentments, God's love. This is the mankind hasn't seen this yet. It's been hidden from the beginning. This is what God has planned. But now he's going to share it with his little children. So he says, but this is not everything. It's not all. What's going to happen is going to pour itself mightily into the womb of the Eternal One. Okay, so here, new birth, new life, abundant life is going to be coming from the womb of the Eternal One. The divine will bilocated in the creature kisses, loves, adores the divine will reigning in God himself. And it brings everyone and everything to God, to him. And they dive into each other. It rises again and follows its course. Rises again. This is why Jesus says, I rose again. My resurrection is to live in the divine will now before you die. To live in the divine will now. And when the divine will reigns, there will be no more death. Do you see what God's bringing to the earth? It's the kingdom that he originally planned for Adam. He says, in fact, the fullness of the Son of the Eternal Will is the soul. This Son is at the soul's disposal. And as the soul admits her acts, loving and praying and repairing, etc., this Son continues its course to give to everyone the surprise of its divine light, of its divine love, of its divine life. See, we have to remember that's the divine will. The divine will is the light, the love, the life of God reigning in the soul. So while the Son of the Eternal Will rises and follows its course to perform its setting in the womb of the divinity, another rises to follow its way, enveloping everything, even the celestial fatherland, to then have its golden sunset in the womb of the Supreme Majesty. It's a brand new day. It's a brand new beginning that's coming. Listen to what he says. I mean, it is so beautiful. He says, this Son of the Eternal Will rises. And again, we see this is what the Vatican wrote about Luisa, the Son of my Divine Will. It follows the course to perform its setting in the womb of the divinity. And then instantly another one rises. See, it's not to be reborn, but to be continuously reborn. That's what God is looking for. It follows its way, enveloping everything and even the celestial fatherland to have its golden sunset in the womb of the Supreme Majesty. So the bilocations of my most holy divine will are innumerable. See, it's going to happen again and again and again for all eternity. This sun rises at each act of the soul done in the supreme Son of the Supreme Volition. So every act done in the will of God. So when you wake up in the morning and you do your prevenient act and then you do your actual act throughout the day, every time you do this, it's a brand new day. It's a brand new sunrise. It's because it's in the supreme will of God, which does not happen with the sun present in the atmosphere, which is always one and does not multiply. Oh, if the sun had the virtue of making as many suns rises for as many times as it does its course over the earth, how many suns could one not see up there? What enchantment! How many more goods would the earth not receive? Therefore, Jesus says, how many goods does the soul who live in my divine will completely in my divine will not do? How many do they do? It could be infinite. Is forever, for all eternity, and never ending. Man can't do an infinite thing, but you get the idea. It's forever. By giving to her God the occasion to bilocate his divine will, to let God repeat the prodigies which only a God can do. Do you see why Jesus says you'll do far greater things than I? It's because of the divine will. See, the gift that God gives to the souls in the divine will is by location of his will. God is doing it in us. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. Let me love the Father as you love the Father. Let me love the Holy Spirit as you love the Holy Spirit. Let me love you as the Father loves you, as the Holy Spirit loves you, as Mary loves you. See, this is what it means to let a God repeat the prodigies that only a God can do in the soul who is completely in God's most holy divine will. Now, we want to live in God's holy divine will, But we are very far from that, okay? We have to understand that. We are very far from that. When this event occurs, you will know it. You will experience it. You will be able to enter into it. So again, these unheard of prodigies, Jesus tells us, is going to happen. And he's asking us, again, we're nobody, we're nothing. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. So volume 19, 7-2, 1926. Now Louisa, the one who shall possess the kingdom of my divine will, shall be for us like a child born after about 6,000 years. See, it's what God wanted for Adam. What Adam possessed, but Adam lost. And now he says, Louisa is the one who shall possess this kingdom of my divine will. This human, born of original sin. And it shall be for us, triune God, like a child born after about 6,000 years. It's finally happened. It's finally occurred. What divine joy, what divine feast shall not be ours, the triune God's, in seeing our image in the soul, intact, beautiful, just as we delivered it from our maternal womb. We have to remember, when God breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. The image and likeness of God. And we say Adam. And because of our limited understanding, we think a human. No, no. Adam possessed the image and likeness of God. He possessed the life that the saints did not possess. This immutability, immortality, the life of God, immutable, immortal. my mind's going blank. Those four qualities that Adam had. Okay, so now it's a new beginning for mankind. How beautiful, how holy, how perfect is this? That our God is asking us to begin to live. So he sees us in his image and likeness, just as he delivered Adam out of the paternal womb of God. All the caresses, all the kisses, all the gifts shall be for Louisa and for the little children linked to Louisa. More so, since having given in creation the kingdom of our divine will to mankind as his special inheritance, since this kingdom of ours has been in the hands of strangers, of servants, of traitors for so long a time, in seeing now Louisa, who shall possess it as the little daughter, and shall give us, triune God, the glory of the kingdom of our divine will, our divine inheritance shall be placed in safety on the part of this son. We see that because of Louisa, she's going to give it to the Holy Father. Jesus says that you must give this back to the man. Why? He has the keys to the kingdom. And it doesn't matter the attacks that are going on at this point, inside and outside the Vatican. It doesn't matter. Jesus is going to win. And he wants us to have that confidence and trust. Nothing to worry about, nothing to fear, nothing to be anxious about, nothing to be complaining about, nothing to be negative about. God is in charge. And he said he will give the devil free rein. You can do, I give you 100 years, do what you wish. Because the devil said, I'm going to destroy your church. God says, go ahead, try it. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. That means it's a full attack inside and outside the church. God wins. Our Lady is going to be triumphant. The kingdom is going to be established. The era, as Our Lady said to Bruno, Our Lady of Revelation said, the era, this era that we're in, is now coming to an end. Time is now coming to an end. So Jesus says, everything, our divine inheritance, shall be placed in the safety on the part of the Pope, the Son. It is not right, is it not right that we, triune God, give him everything, even ourselves, our very selves, that he enclosed everything and everyone, and that he enclosed everything and everyone. So here, the Holy Father is going to be the one who will live fully in this gift. He will possess this gift. And how great is this? How magnificent is this? This is our, for us. He predestined us to live at this time. Now, if in the creation of the world, again, this is very, very important, he released so many things which were to serve man's nature and which were to be like a mirror in which, by reflecting himself in it, mankind was to recognize his creator. All created things were to be paths through which he could return to the paternal womb from which he came. And this is much more necessary, that it is to make known more things about the kingdom by divine will, which is to serve as life of the soul, as the center in which God must have his throne. Okay, so here, Jesus shows us this. In volume 26, if the creation of the world, he released so many things which were to serve man's nature, which were be to like a mirror in which reflecting himself in it was to recognize his creator, all created things were to be paths through which he could return to the paternal womb from which he came, and much more necessary it is to make known more things about the kingdom by divine will. This is why God gave us the book of heaven. He's going to teach us more things than what we see in creation, which is to serve as life of the soul. It's to serve as the center in which God must have his throne. The center in which God must have his throne is in us living in the divine will. Each one of us will become a living tabernacle. Why? That's what Our Lady was. We're going to receive the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. How fortunate we are to be Catholic, to have Jesus and Mary. And the throne, the center, is going to reign in us, the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Each person will be a throne of God. Now, the multiplicity of things I, Jesus, have made known to you, Louisa, serves to show what this divine will is and how there is nothing more important, nothing more holy, nothing more immense, nothing more powerful, nothing more beneficial, and which has the virtue of giving more life than it does. See, God is going to fill us with more. That's what's coming. All other things, as good and holy as they may be, are always in the secondary order. Now he's talking about the saintly things, the good things, the holy things. All other things, as good as holy as they may be, as saintly as they may be, are always in the secondary order. The divine will alone has always the first place. And wherever the divine will is not present, there cannot be divine life. Okay, so when we think about this, the saints had the sacraments, the sacramentals. Yet, the human will, the free will is so great that choosing the human will to live, a lot of saints went to purgatory because they were not perfected on earth. They loved Jesus. They loved Mary. They used the sacraments and sacramentals as their medicine, but they failed to be perfected. Jesus says, you must be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect. So they were good and holy and saintly, yet Jesus says, the divine will alone has the first place. And wherever the divine will is not present, see, the saints did the will of God, but did not live in the will of God. That's the first place. He says, if you're not living in the divine will, which is to be freed of all worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, to live in the divine will, as you read, as you study how this is going to take place and why this is going to take place, brings the soul to this. Now, a lot of people say, well, the saints lived in the divine will. There are many saints living in the divine will. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, you, Louisa, lived in the divine will. The first one next to you will be the Holy Father. Why? A man and a woman. Adam and Eve for the creation, Jesus and Mary for redemption, and now Louisa and the Pope for sanctification. Volume 19, 8:31, 1926. My daughter, look how many things were issued in creation and with our divine fiat for the good of man's nature. Everything that our divine will has had established to issue, nothing was missing for its fulfillment. Now, just as everything that we, Triune God, were to release in creation was established, and nothing was absent from our roll call, so was everything that we, Triune God, were to issue for the good of the souls also established. In fact, we did issue it, and it was so great as to surpass by thousands and thousands of times all the goods that can be seen in the creation. So here Jesus is saying, we look at all in creation, how beautiful, how holy. He says, but the divine will, the good that the divine will brings to the soul, is surpasses by thousands and thousands of times all the goods that can be seen in creation. So that, again, Jesus is showing us this new era is coming. This new era is going to begin. But both those which were to serve the good of man's nature and those which were to serve the good of his soul, everything remained deposited in our most holy divine will. Because we, Triune God, do not entrust our things to anyone. Knowing that our divine will alone would preserve them for us, Triune God, whole and beautiful, just as we deliver them from our divine womb, more so, since it alone has the preserving and multiplying power, which while it gives, loses nothing, and keeps all things in the place wanted by us, Triune God. Everything is at the place of God. Nothing can be, there's no disorder. It's perfect order, perfect peace, perfect happiness. That's where God wants us to live. And the human will brings us misery. Again, what is the human will? It's when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did, and this is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live this life any longer. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. And each week we go to confession. Why? Because our fallen nature, the human nature, is at war with God's holy divine will. And little by little, as we read, as we study, God gives us the grace to conquer that which was unconquerable before. See then, for how long have all the goods that we, Triune God, must give to the little children of our supreme fiat been issued from our paternal womb. Everything has been prepared since the time of creation. Nor shall we withdraw because of the delay. We shall keep waiting. No sooner than the creature places her human will as the footstool of ours to let it dominate, we shall open the doors to her, to let her enter, because it was the human will that closed the doors to our most holy divine will and opened the doors to miseries, to weaknesses, to passions. So again, here Jesus is showing us the six steps that Our Lady taught Louisa in the first 6 days. It's very clear, placing at the footstool of ours. We bind our human will to the footstool of God, never to see it again, never to possess it again. See the Lord, he has great plans. He needs us to cooperate. He needs us to begin to give our fiat in all situations. And when we do this, how glorious is this? We continue. Volume 20, 11/20, 1926. Therefore, everything is in keeping your motion bound to the motion of your Creator. Always be one with God. Always be focused on God. This is, be attentive. Learn how to do this. Read, study, put this into practice. In order to murmur together with His eternal emotion. It's like the murmuring of the sea, the murmuring of your heartbeat, the murmuring of your breath, the murmuring of the leaves blowing in the wind. It's the motion, the eternal motion of God. In this way, you, Louisa, shall follow my divine will in its motion that never stops, in its acts that never cease. And you, Louisa, shall make your motion return to the womb of your Creator, who awaits with so much love the return of His works, the return of His love, the return of His murmurings. Do you see, we're to be one with God, fused with God in His holy divine will. This is what God is waiting for. This is what God is longing for. So He says, in creating the creatures, the divinity acts like a father who sends his children for their good, one to a town, one to a field, one to cross the sea, and some to a place nearby, some far away, giving each one of them a task to fulfill. We have a task to fulfill. We are living at this time to fulfill this task that God has chosen for us to live in the divine will as He originally planned Adam to live eternally, to live in the divine will as Louisa possesses this. This is our task to be fulfilled. But while He sends them away, He anxiously awaits their returns. He is always on the lookout to see if they are coming back. If He speaks, He speaks about His children. If He loves, His love runs to His children. His thoughts fly to His children. Poor father, he feels crucified because he has sent his children far away from him, and he longs for their return more than his own life. And if may this never be, he does not see all of them or part of them come back. He is inconsolable. He weeps and utter moans and cries of sorrow, such as to snatch tears even from the hardest. And only when he sees them return into his paternal bosom to clasp them to his breast that burns with love for his children, then he is content. Oh, how our celestial father, more than a father, sighs, burns, raves for his children, because he delivered them from his womb and he awaits their return in order to enjoy them in his loving arms. We have to understand this. He's eager to have us back, and this is why he has given us the book of heaven. He's saying, would you do this for all my children? Would you stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for his children, the Israelites? Would you do this for all my children now? So he says, in the kingdom of the supreme fiat is precisely this, the return of our children into our paternal arms, and this is why we long for it so much. Then after this, Louisa says, I felt all immersed in the adorable will of God, and I thought to myself of the great good. If everyone knew and if everyone fulfilled this fiat that is so holy, and the great contentment that they would give to our celestial Father. And my sweet Jesus, resuming his speaking, added, my daughter, in creating the creature, as we, Triune God, were forming him with our creative hands, we felt a divine joy, a divine contentment come out of our womb because He was to serve and to maintain our amusement on the face of the earth and our continuous feast. This amusement we see with little babies. Just to see them smile, to see them, you know, gaze and giggle. This is, he says, he is totally amused by the beauty of his children. We have to understand what the Lord has done for us is so wonderful, so magnificent. So as we, Triune God, formed his feet, we thought that they were to serve our kisses because they, listen to this, they were to enclose our steps and we were to be, and were to be our means of encounter to amuse ourselves. And as we formed his hands, we thought that they were to serve our kisses and embraces because we were to see in him the repeater of our works. As we formed his mouth, his heart, we that were to serve the echo of our word and of our love as we infused life in him with our breath. In seeing that the life had come out of us, it was a life completely our own. We clasped him to our womb and kissed him as confirmation of our work and of our love, and so that he might maintain himself whole in our steps and in our works, in the echo of our word and love, and of the life of our image impressed in him, we gave him our divine will as the divine inheritance, that it might preserve him just as we had delivered him, so as to be able to continue our amusements and our affectionate kisses and our sweet conversations with the work of our hands. It's a new beginning for mankind. And as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, everything changes for you. The the things of the world just begin to melt away. It's to begin to live the beauties of heaven. It's to begin to live one with our God, fused with our God in His most holy divine will. This is what God's waiting for. He's longing for this. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. Volume 20, 11, 20, 27, 19, 26. My daughter, when one has a special mission, this person is called mother or father. Whoever originates from this fulfilled mission can be called daughter of this mother. True mother means to carry the birth from oneself within one's womb and to form it with one's own blood, to bear pains and sacrifices, and if needed, to expose one's own life in order to give life to the birth from one's womb. See, it's not what we see today. It's how people are supposed to live. But when this birth has matured in one's womb and has come out to the light of the day, then with divine justice, by divine right, and with divine reason, this birth is called son, and she who generated him, mother. Therefore, in order to be mother, it is necessary to first form all of the members in one's own interior, to generate them in one's own blood, and the acts of these children must be generated from the very heart of their mother. So Jesus is showing, because of the mother, everything happens for the child. Now, my daughter Louisa, in order to be daughter of my most holy divine will, you have been generated in it. In it you have been formed, and in forming you, the light, the love of my most holy divine will, more than blood, has grafted in you its divine ways, its divine attitude, its divine operating, making you embrace everyone and everything. To see what Jesus is waiting for us to do. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. I just put your name there. My daughter, my son, in order to be daughter of my divine will, son of my divine will, you have been generated in it. Have we been generated in it? Do we understand what this all is all about? Have we read the 36 volumes of Louisa? Have we studied it? Do we understand what this means? It is that you have been formed, and in forming you, the divine light, divine love of my divine will, more than blood, has grafted in you its divine ways, its divine attitude, its divine operating, making you embrace everyone and everything. When you do your prevenient act, is it to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future? That's what Jesus is looking for. Is this happening? So he continues. This is so true that you, being a birth from the divine will calls you now newborn of my divine will. Now it's little daughter. Now, only the one who has been generated by the divine will can generate the children of my divine will. Therefore, you, Louisa, shall be the mother of the generation of its children. Louisa is the little mama of the little children of the holy divine will. You cannot possess this gift separate from Louisa. It is impossible. You can't possess it separate from Louisa. Jesus is asking you to embrace this gift. This is what he's asking. To live this gift one with Louisa. Volume 20, 12, 8, 19, 26. To make him, without having to be in the like us triune God, carrying within himself the image of God who created him, would be neither decorous nor worthy of a work of our hands. Nor would it be a power of that regenerative breath that came out of our womb to generate a being dissimilar from us, triune God. See, the Lord wants us to be like him. So what does he do? If you read volume 17, May 4th, 1925, Jesus says that he wanted the Father wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth. Under the paternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Louisa, and the soul is linked to Louisa. That's us. He says, he says, we are going to be like him, not dissimilar from the triune God. So he gives us Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. What would be said of a mother who generated not a child who had eyes, mouth, hands, and feet, and would be similar to her in all members, at most smaller than her in all members, but lacking nothing of all the organs of the mother, but generated a plant, or generated a bird, or generated a stone, things that are dissimilar from her? It would be incredible. Things against nature, unworthy of a mother who is not able to infuse her image in all of her members in her newborn. Do you see what Jesus is doing? Do you see why he has given us the book of heaven? In the book of heaven are all the truths that Jesus wants us to begin to live. All of the truths are there. The promises are there. Every page is filled with promises and truths. He says, I want you to begin to learn this. See, there are many, many books. But if Jesus has given us the book of heaven, he's asking us to read it, to study it, to put it into practice. Look at the images of Louisa. She always has the book in her hand, basically, or the book is on the side right next to her. She reads it, she studies it, she puts it into practice. That's what God is asking of us. So he's looking at us. How often do you read? Now, one way of doing this is reading the calendar. If you read the calendar every day, Jesus leads you more and more and more to live this great gift of the divine will. Jesus has great plans. He's our King. He's our God. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He has great plans for his children. And he's looking at us. He says to Louisa, I spy on you. I want to see what you're doing with this book of heaven. These words that were given to Louisa, dictated to Louisa, that she wrote down in the book, were for our benefit. What are you doing with this? He's saying. So he says, now, if all things generated and formed things similar to themselves, much, much more does God, the first generator, God, whose honor and glory is informing the souls, the creatures, was to form them similar to himself. This is why we receive Holy Communion, to receive Jesus. And again, that's the holiest time of the day when you receive Holy Communion, where you're in communion with God, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him. Until that 15 minutes until the host is dissolved. It really is the most beautiful time of the day. Why? Why does Jesus do this? So that we can get ready for a perennial communion with God, never to be separated from God ever again, to adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him and worship him for all eternity, to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. He says very clearly, he has formed us similar to himself, image and likeness. He wants us who are creatures, who are nothing but mere dust, to be similar to him. So he says this to Louisa, therefore, my daughter, let your flight in my most holy divine will be continuous. What does that mean? It's no longer of earth, it's of heaven. The flight to heaven, the journey to heaven. Begin to live that now, Jesus says. Let your flight in my most holy divine will be continuous, that it may concentrate its rays, divine rays, upon you, Louisa, upon us linked to Louisa, and darting through you. See, it's divine. It may make of you its little son. Here is the title of the book that the Vatican came out with. The Son of My Divine Will is Louisa Picaretta. This is what God is looking for. He wants this to happen in us. Is our flight continuous in the divine will? Are we concentrating its ray, letting the concentrated rays of light dart through us? Is the divine will making of us its little son? Are we becoming like him, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve? This is what God is waiting for. This is what God is longing for. It's a new beginning. A new beginning. And the Lord looks at us and he says, I have chosen you. I predestined you to live at this time. I've got great things in store for you. Are you willing to give your fiat? Are you willing to give your yes? And that's why everything is fiat. Everything is fiat. And the more that we let go of the things of earth, continuing our flight in the divine will to heaven, the more that we begin to do this, the happier we become. The more peaceful we become. The more loving we become. We become like Him, Jesus. Image and likeness. That's why He created us. God has great plans. God has great plans. And we're in them. And He's asking us, are you willing to give your fiat? Yes, Lord, we're willing to give our fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.